Well, good morning, friends and brethren. It's very good to see you. We have some visitors with us today. We're especially glad to see you, to have you with us. We're glad you're here. You know, it's been almost a year now since we started our daily Bible reading. Earl alluded to that here this morning as we began. And it's amazing to me how fast the year has gone by, and also at the same time, the fact that, wow, we've just about read through the Bible now. You know, this is quite an accomplishment, and there are some who are feeling, in fact, quite the sense of accomplishment with that. And so, as we stare down the finish line challenge here, there's some things for us to think about, maybe. You know, for some, this has been a first-time event. It's a personal achievement, you know, to have read through the Bible. And because not a lot of people have done that, and it's not an easy challenge to fulfill. I mean, really, we will have read through 66 books, you know, 40 different writers, reading a period of over 1,500 years. We've read the names of a lot of people we can't pronounce, and we've read the locations of a lot of places we've not been to. And so I think that's quite an accomplishment. Now, some have admitted they gave up really before starting. Some have said it was just, I knew I couldn't do it. And so some didn't start. And then there have been some others who became a little discouraged along the way and quit when they fell behind. And I understand it can be overwhelming. And sometimes when you're reading four chapters a day, if you miss two or three days and now you're 12 chapters behind plus the four you have to read today, well, that was too much. And they quit. And I can understand. Listen, I'll be honest. There have been some times where I've fallen behind. When I went to Africa, I was gone for 3 weeks. Guess what? I could not do my daily Bible reading. There was no way I could do that or keep up. Or some other times where there's just been so much come up where I got a couple of days behind. And sometimes you can catch up. You know, sometimes you just have to kind of put another peg in the ground and say, here's where I'm going to start. And you look at the schedule and you start off where we are today. And you just have to do that. But I can understand how some maybe became discouraged and just said, oh, I can't do it. Well, there are some lessons we've all learned from this, isn't there? I think I've been most concerned about some who have just not seen the reason to even start studying the Bible. That really does concern me. And that's why there's some things this morning I want us to think about for a few minutes. You know, really and truly, the primary goal of Bible reading is faith building. That's the purpose. That's the intent. And it seems like at times a point that's maybe overstated, but the fact that faith can only come from the Word of God is something that in reality we cannot overstate. And I understand that there are some who would challenge that idea, people who would say that faith comes from many different things or many different sources. Indeed, we can have faith in a lot of different things, but faith in God comes from one source. If we are having a faith problem, it's not hard to identify the root cause. In fact, I would really struggle to think of a time that I have sat down with someone who is having a faith problem where the real issue wasn't hard to determine. Have you been reading your Bible? Have you studied about these issues in your life? Have you asked God and looked to see what He has to say about these things? And when the answers are negative, when the answers are no on these things, I know the problem. Faith comes from one source. It comes from the Word of God. D.L. Moody, a preacher of the late 1800s, said something that was interesting, wrote some things about having a faith problem. I would not agree with everything that Mr. Moody has to say, but I thought on this point he made a very good observation. And he wrote, I prayed for faith and thought that someday faith would come down like a lightning bolt and strike me. But faith did not come. One day I read in the 10th chapter of Romans, now faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. He said, I had closed my Bible and I prayed for faith. Now I opened my Bible and began to study. And faith has been growing ever since. Well, imagine that. It's what God said. God tells us, and He has identified for us, that faith comes and is developed by His Word. It's by studying and understanding His Word that is the only source. There was a boxer, famous boxer most of us have heard of, George Foreman, who several years ago wrote a book, God in My Corner. And he shares this personal story about the Bible. He said, in 1974, before I went to Africa to fight Muhammad Ali, a friend gave me a Bible to take along on the trip. He said, George, keep this with you for good luck. I believed the Bible was just a shepherd's handbook, probably because the only verse I knew was, the Lord is my shepherd. But I always was looking for good luck, so I carried the Bible with me. I had lucky pennies, I had good luck charms, so now I added the lucky Bible to my collection of superstitious items. After I lost the fight, I threw the Bible away. I never even opened it. I thought the Bible didn't help me win, so why do I need it? I thought I'd get power simply by owning it. I didn't realize that I needed to read it to believe what it says. Since then, I've come to understand that the Bible is my roadmap, not my good luck charm. Excuse me. Not my good luck charm. That's an interesting observation. Because I think sometimes we kind of approach the Bible that way too. That if we own one, that somehow by osmosis what it says will kind of just float its way into us. But it never does work that way. We have to open the book and we have to read it for it to have an effect on us. And Bible reading is problematic for a lot of people in different ways. Mark Twain wrote this. He said, most people are bothered by those passages of Scripture they do not understand, but the passages that bother me are those I do understand. I thought that was interesting too. You see, in fact, when we read, we can understand. We can know, we can see what the will of God is for us. No, we may not understand every point. We may not understand everything that God said to His people. But yes, we can understand the will of God because He said we can. And even those who don't even claim to be religious can acknowledge that. And so, many people begin the new year with a goal to read the Bible. And that's a worthy objective. However, reading the Bible should come to be more than just doing a Bible reading. It's not that we just want to check off every day something on our list so we can say, I've done my Bible reading for the week, and as though that's the accomplishment. No, I think there's something more to it than that. Bible reading connects us to God. You cannot get close to God without getting into the Word of God. I am always amazed at those who claim some allegiance to God, those who claim to be led by God, those who claim God speaks to them, and yet when you talk with them for a few minutes, you soon realize they have no idea what God says in His Word. It is the Bible that connects us to God. Man offers many ideas as to what makes for a good life and how we can live better. Well, so does God. But His offering on this matter is often very different than what God has to say. Jesus, when offered all that would appeal to man, when He was on the mountain and Satan was tempting Him, He responded, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4 and verse 4. And just that little point right there says to us so much about the power of the will of God, that it what it offers us, that really that it offers us everything. When will we learn? All that really matters, all that we can truly benefit us is in fact offered by God in His Word. The power of the Word is something that we should not minimize. To draw near to God, we must be in His Word and it in us. In John chapter 17, if you would take your Bibles and turn with me, Jesus, having identified to His disciples, His apostles, that He was not going to be with them much longer, and knowing even the persecution that was at hand for those who were His disciples, He had some things to say to them. And He prayed for them. John chapter 17, verse 14, let's begin. Jesus says, "I have given them Your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that You take them out of the world, but that You keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by Your truth. Your word is truth. As You have sent Me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify Myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth." What Jesus was offering His apostles and His closest disciples there was what they needed the most: the power and the understanding that would come from the Word and the will of God. Because their hope was placed in that. There was hope to be found in nothing and nowhere else. To stand whole and right before God, we must be in His Word. Bible reading connects us to God. The Bible tells us who God is. The Bible describes and defines for us His character, His nature, His personality. It tells us who God is. And we come to know the person of God, His love for His creation, His purpose for us is defined for us. The Bible reveals the will of God and His eternal purpose for the human race. We read in Genesis, we come to understand and know the power of God in all that He has done in His creation, and we see His majesty and His might. And we read through the story of the children of Israel, His love for them, and all that He would do for them and bless them. They would prosper when they obeyed Him. We see His disappointment when they disobeyed and the discipline that would come. We read God sending the prophets to lead His people, to counsel, to direct, to guide them. We can see His love was overflowing for those that He would call His own. And then He sends His Son. And we read through the Gospels the story of the life of Jesus Christ, and we come even more to understand God's plan for man and His love for mankind. Reading the Bible connects us to God. Reading the Bible reveals who Jesus is. It's interesting to me just how many books are written about Jesus. Even secular writers are wont to write about Jesus. There must be some profit in this somewhere. Because if you Google Jesus online on like Amazon.com or something like that, you may very well find 250,000 hits as far as books written about Jesus. That's amazing. What's also amazing is that there is only one book that really reveals the truth about Jesus. There is one book that comes from the breath of God that reveals to us Jesus, His purpose, and His life. There are prophetic affirmations about His coming when we read through the Holy Text, about His virgin birth, His deity, and His life. There is one book that fully reveals the purpose of His teaching, His death, and His burial, and His resurrection. There's one book that includes all of this, and it's with accuracy that we know is right because it comes from God. Bible reading reveals to us who Jesus is. Bible reading gives us understanding, insight, and purpose in life. Bible reading tells us who we are. It tells us where we came from and why we are here. That also is amazing to me, to think that there have been hundreds of books that try to answer the question of why are we here? A number of books of that very title, Why Are We Here? Or Who Are We? But there is one book that answers all of these questions. The Bible opens up to us the mind of God in a very special way. It is amazing for us to consider, but the Bible truly reveals God to us, and it helps us to really know Him. It's an interesting phrase that some want to use. Well, I know my Jesus. Jesus knows me. And yet so often I have found once again that the more you talk with some who say, I know Jesus, the more you talk with them, the more you realize they have no idea what the Bible says. No, we cannot know Jesus if we don't know what the Word says. Because it is God through His Word who tells us about Jesus, His life and His purpose and His coming. God, in all of His power and might, in all that is mind-boggling and inconceivable to us, in all that is astonishing to us, God is revealed in His Word. Bible reading gives to us understanding, insight, and purpose in life. And how is He revealed? Ephesians chapter 3. Many know the passage well. But I find it so easily describes and defines what this book is. The Apostle Paul, inspired of God, has taught many. And as his life is getting on, and as he is writing more of the epistles now, is describing and defining to us more of what we know and can understand about the will of God. And though there was much that was a mystery, it was being revealed. Ephesians 3 and verse 3, when he pens, how that by revelation he has made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in a few words, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. Indeed. We can know the will of God, but it comes from one source, the Word that He has given us. It helps us to know and to understand God's place, God's purpose, God's love. It's all defined for us in His Word. And the only way we can know the mind of God is by what He says in His Word. And He has kept nothing back that we need. He has revealed what we must know. And then Bible reading will profit us spiritually. Sometimes we have had to be convinced of what is the best thing to do. We've all been in some circumstance in life that way, where there are decisions of life to be made and we have to be convinced about what is the right or the best thing to do. I want us to be convinced that the best thing for us to do as we approach the coming of a new year, I want us to be convinced that spending time every day reading God's Word is the best thing we could ever do. That there is nothing that could have greater benefit, there is nothing that could help us or cause us to grow any more than every day that we take time to read from God's Word. Turn to the Psalms with me. The 119th Psalm. And just to read a few passages found that I think helps us to emphasize the point. 119th Psalm. We begin at verse 10. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commandments. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. The plea of the psalmist is that he might know and understand the commands of God. That it might be in his heart in such a way that it's ever present, it's always there. When we fill our hearts with God's Word, we have power. Power to overcome issues of life, even sin. Even as the text would say, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Listen, brethren, it's harder to sin when we're thinking about God. It's harder to fall to temptation when we know what God wants us to do and what He wants us to be. And when that's fresh on our mind, He will be with us. Verse 25. I am laid low in the dust. Preserve my life according to your word. I recounted my ways and you answered me. Teach me your decrees. Let me understand the teaching of your precepts. Then I will meditate on your wonders. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. It's an amazing passage to me. In that we all face times when life is just overwhelming. When there are issues going on that we don't even know how to respond to. When there are decisions that have to be made that we don't know what the best answer is. When there are those who are working on us in such a way so as to destroy and damage our faith. How do we deal with these things? When life is overwhelming, when we are low and when we are depressed, we can find strength. The psalmist did. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. When we are facing the most difficult times in life, it is God who will lift us up. And we draw near to Him and we come to understand His way and His will and we turn to His Word. Verse 49. Remember your word to your servant, for you have given me hope. My comfort in my suffering is this. Your promise preserves my life. On days when we are grieved by any number of issues that can come upon us, when we are grieved, when we are suffering because of life issues, God's Word comforts us. God's Word gives us hope. Verse 113. Verse 113. I hate double-minded men, but I love your law. You are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word. Away from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commands of God. Evil-minded men are always around. And are always trying their best to do their work on us. And we need strength to overcome. The psalmist understood that there was one source of strength that could overcome any who were trying to bring us down. That source was the Word of God. That hope was the Word of God. Verse 153. Look upon my suffering and deliver me, for I have not forgotten your law. Defend my cause and redeem me. Preserve my life according to your promise. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek out your decrees. Your compassion is great, O God. Preserve my life according to your laws. When we find ourselves in need of redemption, which we all need. We need a boost in fortitude sometimes to withstand life all around us. And we find compassion in God's Word. Words that will preserve us. Words that will increase our faith. Bible reading will profit us in every way. It will build us spiritually. Purposeful, introspective Bible reading empowers us spiritually to make better choices. And brethren, what we should do is make a choice to find that power, to be lifted up, to make a choice to get all the strength we can receive from the Holy One, that which comes through His Word. We should determine that we need a greater spiritual focus and we know where to find it, and that we will look to His Word. Let's make a spiritual commitment. Let's make a reading commitment. That as we come close now to the beginning of a new year, that we dedicate ourselves to the idea of being with the Lord every day in His Word. That we'll make a commitment to open His words to us and spend time with Him. Seek the hope and the strength that can only be found in Him. Help us to increase our faith. Faith that comes by His Word, because true faith comes from nowhere else. Faith that will come from His Word. Will you commit to that? Is it a challenge? Yes, we've already learned that. It's a challenge indeed. Is it something that's going to require our time? Yes, it will. Will it require a commitment? Yes, it does. But the benefits of what comes by daily study of God's Word is immense. It's great. It will encourage us. It will lift us up. It will draw us nearer to Him. Why would we have a difficult decision to make on whether we should read the Word of God every day? Just some things for us to think about, to challenge ourselves in this way. Would you think about that? We want to give an opportunity for any today who are dealing with issues and challenges in life to seek the help and the counsel of God. Even as Christians, sometimes we falter. Sometimes, even as Christians, we find ourselves in need of encouragement and strength that comes from God and comes from brethren. And even as we sin, we realize we must repent and confess our sins and pray forgiveness. And if we find ourselves today in that, with that need, then can we help you? Can we pray with you and for you? And if you're not a child of God, but understand the need of being a baptized believer, putting on Jesus Christ in baptism, having our sins washed away, don't delay your response, but would you come even now as we stand and sing?